Greek word for restoration. When we think restoration, we think about restoring something back to its original state, taking it back to its former glory, if you will. But the Hebrew and the Greek, when it speaks of this word restoration, somebody shout restoration.
Restoration.
It means to restore to a state better, more, and greater. That what God is interested in for you today is simply not taking you back to an original state before the problem came, before the sickness came, before the trouble happened. But God is interested today in helping you go to a place that you've never been. Amen. Something greater, something more. Amen. Something far expansive than your imagination can even imagine. That God, amen, wants to heal you today. That God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. That God wants to fix the unfixable today. That God wants to touch your mind. He wants to touch your body. He wants to touch your spirit. He wants to restore financially, amen, back to you what the enemy, amen, has taken. In fact, amen, this word restoration describes the fact that God wants to rescue you from you. That if you need deliverance from yourself, there's help in the place today. Amen. That doesn't matter what caused the trouble. Doesn't matter how you got here. You're here. Amen. And God is here, amen, in this house, amen, to bring you out of all your trouble, all of your destruction, and all of your distresses. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. And in our text, amen, it is the launching, amen, of the ministry of restoration. It's the launching, amen, of the ministry of Jesus. And he gives us his mission statement. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. He begins, amen, with this statement, amen, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. That anointing not only empowers us, amen, but it reveals the purpose for the empowerment, that God does not play games with his power. That when God releases his power, there's a purpose for it. And that purpose is this, to rescue you from every destructive force. That the Holy Ghost, amen, is here to rescue you from every destructive force. Every destructive thought, every addiction, amen. It doesn't matter, amen, how broken you are, because he said, I'm anointed, amen. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to help you, to rescue you, and to bring you out. Hallelujah. Restoration is all encompassing. That I realize today that there are people in pain. You're in mental pain. You're in emotional pain. There's trauma happening to you. And you're wanting relief from that. And God is only going to bring you relief. He's going to rescue from you from that. Amen. But there's more happening than just the pain that you feel. There's some underlining roots and issues that you don't realize even now why you're in the situation that you're in. But the word says that God wants to bring you out of all your destruction. That God not only wants to give you a temporary fix, but he wants to go to the root of the issue so that when you leave this place today, come on somebody, you're no longer going to struggle with what you walked in with. You're no longer going to wrestle with what you walked in with, but there's complete and total victory in this place today. That by the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to for the next few moments. And for those of you that are clock watchers, I have 31 minutes left. Hallelujah. That I'm going to try, amen, my very best to verbalize, amen, and connect with you spiritually so that you can see what God wants to do. He said he's anointed me, amen, to preach the gospel to the poor. That the preaching of the gospel can rescue you from the destructive force of poverty. That the word poor in the Greek describes abject poverty. Those who are impoverished, amen. Jesus wants to set you free from those, amen, things, amen, that are stealing your finances.
Yes, sir.
Secret addictions.
Yes, sir.
Come on, somebody. He can deliver you from gambling. He can deliver you from drugs. He can deliver you from poor stewardship. He's not only referring to economical destruction, but spiritual destruction. That Jesus, amen, is a spiritual and economic game changer.
Yes,
hallelujah. That he wants to deliver you from the love of money and release you to a level of good stewardship where he can produce in you generational wealth.
Right.
Hear me. If you've never struggled financially, you don't know, amen, how much poverty destroys you. Oh, praise the Lord. We were so poor growing up. I didn't have indoor plumbing until I was 5 years old. It was so bad. How many's ever had Kool-Aid? You take one packet and you take 1 gallon of water and a little bit of sugar and you mix it all together. And the water changes colors, red, orange, whatever ever the Kool-Aid is. Hallelujah. We were so poor. Amen. By the time my mama diluted the Kool-Aid, it had just a slight pink color because it didn't produce 1 gallon. It produced 5 and 6 gallons to the point where it really didn't taste like Kool-Aid. It tasted like water. Amen. So you don't know poor until you know poor. But this one thing I know, he picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. Hallelujah, that he's delivered me, amen, from the struggle of financial poverty. And God wants to deliver you from the struggle of financial poverty. That the pressure that you're under, you came in here not knowing how your rent's going to get paid. And God's saying, I'm going to deliver you from that issue. I'm going to get you a job. I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to give you wealth. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, because that pressure is destroying you physically. It's destroying your peace mentally, and God says, I'm here. He's anointed me to deliver you from all destructive forces. Someone shout praise the Lord. Someone shout praise the Lord. He said, hallelujah, that he sent me. Someone shout, he sent me. He meant to heal the brokenhearted. The word sent me, apostello, means sent with power to perform. That when God comes in the room, amen, he comes with power to perform. That we're not talking about a God that is somehow exists in the realm of tradition and theory or just in history past. But we're preaching a Jesus that is the same yesterday, right now, and forever. That what he did then, he's doing right now. And what he's doing right now, he's going to do forever. So Jesus is going to literally even come up the pages of Scripture and is going to walk into your mess today and is going to love you and is going to bless you and is going to bring you out. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Stop trying to disqualify yourself because you know how bad you are. When the Bible says Jesus went about doing good, it means he did not consider the worthiness of the person he wanted to be good to. So would you allow God to be better to you than you are to yourself? Will you allow God to be good to you better than what people have been? That he wants to help you today. That's why he came, to restore you and to rescue you. If you believe it, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Better yet, if you want it, why don't you clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Amen, he sent me to heal. Amen, not just me, but every Holy Ghost filled believer. But Jesus is describing his personal mission, that Jesus is here to heal. I said Jesus is here to heal. And he says it's because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Bible tells us, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That the Bible is telling here that the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. The word help, amen, is a compound word in the Greek, soon antilebeno, amen, meaning that God is ready right now to take away from you everything that is destroying you. That the help of the Spirit is this. He's ready right now to take action. Not next week. Come on, not next month, not next year, not when the choir is singing the right song, but right now in this house, Jesus is looking for somebody to bless. Jesus is looking for somebody. What he's saying is this: give me your trouble, give me your destruction, give me your ruin, and I'll give you peace and joy unspeakable. I'll give you wholeness, and I'll restore you to a state greater than what before the trouble even came into your life. But the Spirit of the Lord is here to help us. Amen. He's here to help our infirmities. I wish I had time, but I don't. But that word infirmity, amen, is a generic term that describes every type of destruction, every type of disease. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. Amen. As I was thinking about the great state of Ohio, and I was reminiscing about what God has done in the state, and God took me back to 14 years ago when I began to first preach in the state of Ohio, and we were preaching in a city, and there was a woman that came in that had macular degeneration, and she was blind in one eye. And I knew it before she told me. She came up to me because it was a miracle healing crusade like this is, and she came up to me and she says, I'm blind in one eye. I said, I know, and this is the reason why. And I walked away from her. Didn't say another word to her. I just wanted her to know that Jesus knew what her issue was before she even got there. Not only did Jesus know what the issue was, he knew what the root cause was. Are you hearing me, friend of mine? Amen. So I begin to preach and begin to minister, and the Spirit of God began to move, and there's a certain time where God will say now, and God said now. So I went over to her, and I began to pray for her, and I spoke the word of faith over her, and the Spirit of the Lord, who does the miracles, came upon her. She received the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. And then when she opened her eyes, she screamed as loud as she could, I can see, I can see, I can see. And so for all the doubters in the house, I brought the Bible to her, and she began to read the scriptures without any help. Amen. There was no trouble. She closed her good eye. Amen. And the eye that was blind that now could see, she could read out of that eye. God completely restored her better than what she was before the trouble even came. Hallelujah. In that same meeting, actually it was the next year that we returned. Amen. Same church, amen, but different year. There was a man that was there that was in a wheelchair, and he sat in back of the service. And I'm preaching my guts out. And I preach until people believe. When people believe, God does his things, and you release God to do what he does, and then miracles happen. Hallelujah. And he was in the wheelchair, and the service was ending, and I saw them wheel him out, and they wheeled him down these steps, and you got to understand, this was downtown in the city, and the Catholic Church and all these other churches are getting out, and they're down, and the street is just full of people, and I'm thinking, I know Jesus wants to heal that man. And I wasn't satisfied with him just leaving the same way that he came in. So I just had radical faith. I went out. Amen. And talked to him, and I said, would you like God to heal you? He said, yes. So we brought him back up in to the sanctuary, and how we brought him up in back into the sanctuary, and these steps were very steep. We didn't bring him back up in the wheelchair. We picked him up, and all the religious people are looking like, what is this crazy church doing now? And we picked him up, and we began to walk him into that church, and he couldn't walk on his own. We carried his weight, but we got him up the stairs, and then we got him through the threshold. And as he began to walk, about halfway to the altar, he stopped and lifted his hands and began to speak with other tongues as God filled him with the Holy Ghost. When the power of God came down upon him, after about 2 or 3 minutes, he pushed us away, and he began to run around that church completely and totally healed. That didn't happen overseas. That didn't happen in Indiana. That happened right here in Ohio. And if he did it then and for him, he can do it here, and he can do it for you, that God wants to restore to you everything that the enemy has done to you. Come on, lift your hands and praise him. Lift your hands and praise him, and just receive of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. That he's ready right now to take away from us everything that is destroying us. Doesn't matter if it's medical. Doesn't matter if it's mental. Doesn't matter even if it's demonic. Jesus is here to restore you. His entire ministry can be defined even in this one word, restoration. That there was a man that had a withered hand, and Jesus is ministering, and he looks to the man and says, stretch forth thy hand. The man had an opportunity to get a handshake or to get a miracle. And it depended upon the man. He meant exposing to the Spirit of God his deficiency, his lack, and his trouble. If he would have stretched forth the good hand, Jesus would have just shook his hand. But when he stretched forth the hand that was withered, the hand that was broken, all of a sudden Jesus began to do what Jesus does. And Jesus healed the man. And the Bible said he restored his hand whole just like the other. In other words, when the Spirit of God moved upon that man, that which was broken, that which was lacking, that which was withered, all of a sudden came back to life again and became better than what it was before the trouble came. And that same Jesus that did that for him, that same Jesus is in this house right now to do the same thing for you. That I don't care what's been withered away, what has shrunk, what does it look like, what it used to look like. Jesus is here to fix it. He's here to help you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's here to help you. Oh, come on, lift your hands and praise him. He sent me to heal. Jesus said, I'm here to heal. I'm here to heal. I'm here to heal. And the Bible says that he's here to heal every disease, every sickness. But he's also here to heal the brokenhearted. The word broken, centribo, means the crushing of grapes with the feet, the smashing and the grinding of bones into dust. It depicts people who have been walked on by others. I wish somebody would get real in this place. Those that have been crushed by others. My God, have mercy. The devil didn't do it. You didn't do it. Other people did it. It's describing those who have been smashed into pieces by life or relationships. Those who feel abused by others. Come on, somebody. He said he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That God is here to remove one layer of brokenness, one layer of abandonment at a time, one after the next, that as you experience his love and his grace, there comes restoration to you from what others did to you. My God, have mercy. If we could expose the abuse that you've suffered at the hands of others, if you would get real with God and stop letting the enemy... Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right about now. Stop letting the enemy shame you into hiding. Telling you that you deserved what happened to you. You didn't deserve what happened to you. That was a predator that did that to you. He may have been called dad. She may have been called mom. This, that, or the other. Hallelujah. But you didn't deserve it. They were a predator. They were the enemy. And God is here right now to heal you. God is here right now to deliver you. You hear this, preacher. He may not take away the memories, but he'll take away the power the memories have over you. So that you can use the memories to help heal other people. But what controlled you to this point is no longer going to control you anymore. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost is here to heal you. He's here to heal you. Put your voices and praise him just for a moment. Come on, there's a spirit of restoration in the house. Something greater, something more. Ha! The hurt, the pain, the trouble, the shame has tried to become your identity. You can be seated, stand up, do cartwheels, I don't care. You can fall down and have a seizure. We'll just think you're being blessed. But the hurt, the pain, the trouble, the trauma has tried to become your identity. The enemy has tried to tell you that this is who you are. And I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. That's not who you are. My God, have mercy. A failure is not a person, it's an event. And it's a learning process. It's not a stopping point. God is here to pick somebody up and say, try again. God's here to pick somebody up and heal your identity. You shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. You are not broken but you're healed. The power of God is here to restore you. I hear you say it. But preacher, you don't know my trouble. You don't know my story. I don't have to know your trouble, your story when I know the answer. Hear me. The man that was born blind. And the text says that no one was ever healed that was born blind. And everybody's trying to figure out why he got in the mess and who sinned, him or his parents. And all Jesus is trying to do is to get the man healed and restored. And Jesus said it wasn't this man or his parents that sinned, but so that the glory of God could be revealed. What he's saying is, amen, it doesn't matter why. What matters is who's present right now and what's getting ready to take place. What Jesus was trying to tell them was this: stop calculating your past into your future, because your past can no longer dictate your future. And Jesus said to the man that was born blind, receive thy sight. And the man that was born blind received his sight and was so restored. When he went back to his neighborhood, he may have the same crip walk and the crip look, amen, and the gang talk, but he was completely different, to the point where, amen, his friends did not recognize him. They said, who is this? It looks like the man that was born blind, but something's different about it. We don't recognize him, because when God restores you, those people that knew you before aren't going to recognize you, because Jesus doesn't do a half work. He does a complete work, and God wants to restore your mind, restore your peace, restore your joy, restore your health, and restore your finances. If you believe it, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Oh. Bear with me. Got 13 minutes and 23 seconds. To preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance means a release, to disannul, to set free. I like this definition. To permanently loose. It's not a temporary thing. It's not a temporary fix, but Jesus is talking about a permanent freeing. And the Bible says that he sent me to preach deliverance or a permanent freeing of the captives. The word captives is a picture word that describes someone who is bound in chains, and there's a Roman soldier with a spear pointing the spear at his back, to the point that the soldier, the enemy, uses the spear to dictate the direction of the individual. That it's describing here, amen, people, are you with me now? Amen, it's describing here people, amen, who have been controlled and manipulated by bondage. That the addiction set the agenda. That the trauma set the course. One broken relationship after the next. And because of the broken identity, you could never really have a complete whole relationship. But God is saying he has come, amen, to set permanently free the captives. That what controlled you when you walked in this place, whether it be addiction or abusive relationships, amen, the thing that was pushing you in the back and driving you, God is saying, I'm here today to deliver you from that. That thing is no longer going to dictate to you, dominate you, intimidate you, and control you. That you're coming out of this house free. You're coming out of this house delivered. You're coming out of this house healed. The power of God is here for you. Lift your hands and just praise him just for a moment. Come on, lift your hands and just praise him just for a moment. Ayado rabasaya bahaya. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. Amen. To not only preach deliverance to the captives, but the recovering of the sight to the blind. This is describing not simply the returning of one's sight, but it's describing a person who has been intentionally blinded. It describes someone whose eyes have been deliberately removed and they don't no longer have the ability to see because there is no organ called the eye there to see. It's describing people that are living in spiritual darkness and deception. It's describing people that have been so wounded and abused and hurt, they can no longer see themselves as God sees them. They can no longer see God as God truly is, and they can no longer see the church as the church truly is because they've been so wounded and so hurt that the enemy has gouged their eyes out. And the only thing that they remember, amen, is the last thing they saw, which was that trauma and drama that happened to their life. But Jesus said, I've come to allow you to recover, amen, your prophetic eyesight. I've come to help you recover your spiritual eyesight so that you can see yourself, amen, not through the dysfunction, but through the eyes and the love of God, and so that you can see others, not through, amen, your low self-esteem, but through the eyes and the love of God, that God is here to help you recover proper vision, proper eyesight, so you can see things as they truly are. Holy Ghost is here right now. Oh, somebody shout, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Notice it said he sent me to preach. Preaching, amen, is what I'm doing right now. It involves sound that God begins to deal with you concerning your miracle, your deliverance, your restoration with words. Hear me now. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. And the Bible said he heard that Jesus was coming. And when he'd heard that Jesus was coming, he began to cry out, amen, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He began to cry out for help. He began to cry out for rescue. He began to cry out for restoration. And the religious people heard him and told him to shut up and be quiet. Anybody that tells you to shut up in church, they need to shut up. Come on, somebody. Because church is loud. Church is noisy, and there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. We don't need to get quiet. We need to get loud. We need to preach Jesus, amen, over the darkness. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the school. Jesus over your situation. And the Bible said the more the religious spirit tried to shut him down, and religious people tried to shut him down, he cried out a great deal more. If you make a great deal of noise about Jesus, I guarantee you Jesus is going to come to your situation and he's going to restore it and he's going to fix it. And the Bible says that Jesus heard blind Bartimaeus and he came to where he was at and he asked him this question, what do you want from me? I don't think you quite understand the opportunity that we have this morning. That same Jesus is in this house asking you right now, what do you want from me? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And the Bible says that the blind man said that I might receive my sight. And the Bible said immediately the man received his sight. Immediately he was restored greater than what it was before the affliction came. Are you hearing me, friend of mine? That Jesus doesn't want you to get you back to square one. He wants to take you to completion. He wants to take you to fulfillment. He wants to give you something greater than you ever had in your life. But the miracle happened this way. The man couldn't see it. And the man couldn't feel it. But the man began to go towards what he heard. And as he operated based on what he heard, he began to feel it. And after he began to feel it, he began to see it. That I'm here to tell you today, I'm preaching to you. And you may not be able to feel your deliverance. And you may not be able to feel your restoration. But if you'll take a step forward and march towards even what I'm talking about today, God is going to manifest it. And you're going to see the miracle take place in this house. Lift your hands and your voices and praise him. He said, I got 5 minutes and 51 seconds. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Again, liberty is the same word for deliverance. It's describing a release, to disannul, to set free, to permanently loose. So again, it's talking about a permanent thing. But in this case, it's describing being delivered and restored from the detrimental effects of a shattered life. Come on, somebody. The Greek text speaks of a permanent release from destructive effects of brokenness. He's saying, set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised is the Greek word for trauma, which means to crush, to break down. A person who's been shattered and fractured by life. A life who has been continually split up and fragmented. I'm talking about divorce. After divorce, after divorce, that has affected your identity, amen, and affected your self-worth, and caused you, amen, to embrace a spirit of abandonment. Come on, somebody, to where now you believe the lie that nobody loves you, and you're unstable in every part of your life. God is saying, I've come to walk into that mess and bring you out, and I'm going to deliver you from the effects of that shattered life. Come on, somebody. I'm just not talking to kids that have been affected by divorce. I'm talking about adults that have been affected by divorce. Amen. Yeah, you weren't the fault. It was your parents' issues. You weren't the fault. Stop blaming yourself. You couldn't have done anything different. Come on, somebody. You were the jewel and the gift that God gave them, and they didn't recognize it. And God is saying, I'm here to deliver you of the effects of a shattered life. Put your hands and praise Him. Oh. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus is in this house. Oh. That He said, I'm come to restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. That God is saying, is I'm here to restore to you what one attack after the next, after the next, years and years in a row. Amen. That there was no harvest. There was no resources. There was no help. Amen. Just devour. Only came and it just came one time after the next, after the next, after the next. That God is saying that His Spirit is here to restore to you the years. Are you hearing me, friend of mine? That when the Bible says when you catch a thief, amen, the Bible says despise not a thief when he's still to be hungry. But if you catch that thief, he has to restore to you sevenfold, even all of his substance. That God is saying that restoration comes, not just getting back the years. But God is saying, I'm going to give you back multiplied years. That for every year of trouble, I'm going to give you 10 years of blessing. Come on, somebody. For every 2 years of trouble, I'm going to give you 20 years of happiness. That the blessing is going to last longer than the trouble. Come on, somebody. That the joy is going to last longer than the sadness. That the peace is going to... I feel the Holy Ghost in here right about now. That God is ready to restore to you the years the enemy has destroyed. Feel the Holy Ghost. That He's saying this in Ephesians chapter... number 5, it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hear me. He's saying, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Feel the Holy Ghost. And that word drunk, be not drunk with wine, describes... And the Greek scholars point this out. It means to be drunk with the prodigal's wine. The prodigal's wine are people that had the opportunities. They were anointed. They were in the Father's house. They had access to the blessing, and they just squandered it all away on riotous living. They missed miracle moments and appointments and ministries. And God is saying, listen, I can redeem the time. I can restore to you. I feel the Holy Ghost in here right about now. I can restore to you. Amen. That decisive epoch that you missed, that decisive moment, those miracle opportunities that you missed in the past that you think are no longer available, God's saying, I'm the only one that can turn back the hand of time and take those good things that you missed, amen, and bring them back into your presence. And God is saying, in this hour, in this moment, there's a spirit of restoration in the house. There's a ministry of restoration in the house that God's going to restore to every single, oh, come on, somebody, amen, that means business opportunities that you missed. Come on, somebody, relationship opportunities that you missed, callings and giftings that you missed, miracles that you missed through disobedience, this, that, and the other, or even just because of disregard. God is saying, I'm doing a work in this place now. It's sovereign. It's by my grace. It's by my spirit. And I'm bringing you to a place now, a moment where you can receive back every missed opportunity. Stand to your feet all over this house. I'm not done preaching, but my time has ran out. Because Jesus didn't end the ministry of restoration with to set at liberty them that are bruised. But he concluded the ministry of restoration, his mission statement, with this. And then I'm going to give you instructions on how to receive. He said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The word acceptable means a favorable time to receive. It's describing when the Lord comes on the scene. It's a divine moment and favorable time to receive your miracle. The word year is not a brief season, but a prolonged season of love, life, and blessing. That what he's saying is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me right now to bring you to a place of a miracle moment where you can receive restoration. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. In fact, he said, for the Son of Man is not, Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Not just who, but what was lost. The what includes who, which is you. Turn to neighbor and say, he's talking about me. No. It's not, he's talking about me. Or mouth shut. Turn to neighbor and say, an open mouth is an open heart. Turn to neighbor and say, he's talking about me. Yeah, you got to get aggressive. I said, you got to turn to some, your neighbor and say, you got to get aggressive if you want a miracle. So he's saying this. I've not just come to save your soul. And he's come to say that. But he's come to restore and recover everything that's yours and everything about you. That God is not just interested in your eternal salvation. He's interested in your finances. He's interested in your marriage. He's interested in you living right. He's interested in everything that is about you, everything that includes you, to bring you out of delusion and confusion where you don't know up from down, in from out. That's okay. God is here to fix it. God is here to fix it. He's here to restore. He's here to rescue. And he said, the way you do this is this. Be not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, restoration happens when I receive the Holy Ghost. Let me help you. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and moanings. He's saying that the Spirit comes to take away everything that is destroying us. He helps us, removes us out of our infirmities. And the way that he does it is this. We don't know how to pray as we should. You cannot recite prayers in English and somehow get deliverance. He's saying you don't have the ability to pray the prayer to get you out of your mess. That's comforting. You see, because some of you just said this in your spirit, well, I got myself in this mess, I get myself out. You can't get yourself out. That's the whole issue. That's why Jesus came. If you could, we would need him. And if you could get yourself out, you would have been out by now, but you're not. So Jesus is here to help you. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But there's a contrasting word here. He's saying this is true, but this is truer. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Jesus himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings and moanings which cannot be uttered. What it's saying is this: you don't know how to get yourself out, you don't know how to pray. But as you give your weaknesses, your infirmities, your praise and your worship to me, the Bible is saying the Holy Ghost is going to come down upon you. Come on, somebody. And you're going to begin to speak words and sounds that won't make sense to your mind, because it isn't a prayer with your mind. It's a prayer with your spirit. And when God fills you with his spirit prays through you with words and sounds that you don't understand. Come on, somebody. It's called speaking with other tongues. And as you begin to speak with other tongues, heaven comes to your location. Help comes to you. And restoration begins. All right, here we go. Your neighbor, say, give him a high five and say, you look good today. Hallelujah. All right. Now I need your help. Miracles are going to take place in just a few moments. We are at the acceptable year of the Lord right now. The Spirit of God is moving right now. But I need your help. Are you ready? I want you to turn to the person beside you and ask them, have you ever spoken with tongues? If they look at you like, what you talking about, Willis? That means they don't know what you're talking about. They haven't. I want you to look back to them and say, you're about ready to. I want you to grab their hand and bring them to the front. Come on. I need your help. Come on. And I want you to have them have their toes touch the altar. We got several here. Come on, this is your day for your miracle. Jesus is about ready to be really, really, really good to you. God's going to restore you. God's going to help you. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody shout, praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Make room in the front and squeeze in. We've got several here. I'm about ready to give instructions on how to receive. And I'm getting ready to give instructions on how to pray. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Amen. Many, many more. In fact, if you've never spoken in tongues, just so we know who you are, so I can make sure that I pray for you, why don't you wave your hand at me if you've never spoken in tongues. Look at this. This is wonderful. Praise God. Okay. Now, Pastor, I need some altar workers to come on the platform and join me. I'm going to give instructions.